This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. You're listening to Geek Speak. Support for Geek Speak on Katie and Kate comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk. We have a guest host today, Tanner Steery. He's with the Roaring Fork Technologists, so we're going to... Amy from the... excuse me. Amy from the KD&K News Department wanted us to talk about EU's Articles 11 and 13, which are drastically reshape the way we think about the internet and how the money flows through the internet when you're providing content.
Yep. So. Specifically with regards to
copyright
and just sort of a general overview of what these things are. Article 11 was originally conceived as a way to help content creators, especially news organizations, be compensated for the content that they create and put out there. Because as it stands right now, say you share an article from your local newspaper on Facebook. Facebook doesn't compensate the newspaper for essentially using their content on Facebook. And then just having content on the internet, it's hard to figure out how to get paid for that, especially as a news organization, because you're not selling paper copies anymore. So
right. So right now in the United States, you're either doing ad revenue. So, you know, when you're reading the article, you see the ad for, you know, some soap or something pop up while you're reading the article, you know, as you're scrolling through, or as a subscription-based paywall type service where the content is behind a paywall. So, or you can read, you know, the first couple paragraphs and then you have to, pay a monthly subscription to the content provider and do that way. So this one would cause, or Article 11 would cause where the content owner, so let's say you make a link. So in this case, in his example, you put a link on Facebook to some news article, Facebook would be required to say, oh, somebody viewed that 6-7 times or 100 times or whatever, and send them some sort of reparation for the content.
Yep. And then quick overview of Article 13, and then we'll get into some of the why this matters and the pros and cons of the approaches and that sort of thing. So Article 13, the concept behind it was the idea of who's responsible for making sure that copyrights aren't violated. Currently, there is not much liability on the part of a YouTube, a Google News, a Facebook to make sure that the person who uploads a particular bit of content has actually attributed and compensated the person who originally created the work. So on YouTube, like say I were just to go and take a song from the Beatles and just throw it up on YouTube, and I would start getting some revenue off of that just by virtue of like the views that it gets. The idea with Article 13 is that no longer is it just on me as the person violating the copyright, but it's also on YouTube to say, hey, this is a piece of media that violates the terms of the copyright. We're going to take it down. We're going to hold this person responsible.
Yeah. And that's, we have something similar right now. We have the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And as a web host, every once in a while, one of my clients finds some picture on the web somewhere and then upload it to my server and it's serving it out. So usually my co-location facility says, hey, you own this IP address, right? Okay. You need to do something or we're turning your IP address off.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
Dang. I didn't realize that happened that way.
Yeah. So it's only happened a couple times. You and obviously large companies get those probably on an hourly basis.
Oh yeah, totally.
So if you have any questions or comments, call the studio at 963-2976. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK.
Yeah, so moving on, I guess why this matters. It's really similar to the EU's General Data Protection Regulation. If you were watching the news back in, it must have been March of last year, about a year ago, the EU released sweeping regulations that changed what companies are responsible for as far as protecting the privacy of their users go. And some of the stuff was a really good idea. Some of the stuff was maybe half-baked, but it affected everyone, not just
people
in the EU.
So the way that affected people, I think it's the GRPD?
GDPR, yeah.
Yeah, GDPR. But basically, when you go to a website now, it says, hey, we use cookies. We need to store this little piece of information on your computer. Is that okay, accept or not? Basically, that's fallout from that regulation.
Exactly. And the reason that it affects everyone is that there really aren't borders on the internet. And this was for lots of internet companies, including I work for an internet company, and we have users in the EU. And if you have any users that are in the EU and that are protected by this law, you can get hit with massive fines for this kind of stuff. And so for any company that isn't explicitly like within operating like outside of the EU or inside of another country, we as companies had to respond to the GDPR, go through the work to put in these safeguards and protections and all this kind of stuff. So this is the same reason for why this copyright protection stuff is a big deal, is because there aren't boundaries on the internet. And so companies like Facebook, companies like Google, but also like even if you have a personal blog that has copyrighted stuff, things like that, you're still more or less subject to the EU regulations, especially if the content creators are in the EU and protected by these regulations.
Yeah, I've always wondered how the extradition would go for all that, how much of a mess, a quagmire that would be for somebody in the United States violating one of these EU laws. How much, what's the real liability? I mean, obviously these huge multinational corporations have vested interests in the European Union. So it's like, they probably have a branch office over there. So they have a higher level of liability relative to.
Yeah. And that's actually a good point. I hadn't thought about that because like my company technically operates in the EU because we have customers who are in the EU. But I don't know what the recourse is. So if we violated the GDPR, say, we would be subject to massive fines. It's like $500,000 or 2% of global revenues, whichever is larger. And so it's a big chunk of money. But I'm not sure what sort of recourse they would have if we just chose not to pay. I don't know. Something kind of in the weeds here.
Yeah.
So going back to kind of pros and cons of each of these articles, start with number 11.
All right. Well, yeah, sorry, I got went off on the Notre Dame thing.
Oh,
so
no worries.
So Notre Dame, if you haven't heard yet, the Notre Dame Cathedral has burned down to some extent. And, one of the AIs on Facebook decided that this was misinformation, that it was, fake news. And,
oh, no way.
And so it kind of suppressed it, all these files being uploaded to YouTube. So it suppressed the, people taking videos of the cathedral burning down.
Whoa. That's wild.
So it's kind of interesting that, it's so difficult to be like, oh, this is real, oh, this is fake. Oh, and then there's, you know, people saying, oh, this is a terrorist attack, but it sounds like there's a open investigation trying to figure out what happened. One of the pictures shows a bunch of scaffolding, so I'm kind of wondering if...
like some sort of restoration project?
Yeah.
That would make sense. Which, actually, that brings up a good point about content moderation on any sort of large scale is really freaking difficult, which is why the... which is part of why big media companies like Google and Facebook push so hard against Article 13. It's already a thing that these rights mechanisms are abused. It's something that you'll see every now and then if you're just on the internet that, you know, some YouTuber or some musician will lose, like...
Well, they'll either demonetize it or they will, like, just... Yeah, remove the content. Yeah, they'll either just
take it down. But sometimes these are spurious claims. Sometimes this is someone else who says, "Hey, I've got the copyright," and then the legal burden is on Google to respond to that or Facebook to respond to that and just take the content down until the person who uploaded it appeals the process, and then that can just turn into a big, ugly legal thing that just isn't worth the time and effort and money that potentially goes into it. So that's one of the concerns around this, like that difficulty of content policing, content moderation, and making sure that it's not abused.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Call in with your questions if your printer's on the fritz or anything else, 963-2976. So.
Yeah.
Here we go. You're on with the geeks.
Oh, hey, Matt. Hey, my Outlook email says that my email box is about full. Is there a way to, like, mass delete or get rid of a lot of emails?
Let's see here. Who is your email provider? So you use Outlook, and then you do use Hotmail, Gmail, AOL?
Hotmail. Yeah.
All right. So probably it's what I would do is go... go to hotmail.com, which will send you to live.com. Log into your account, go to the mail section, and it'll kind of give you a breakdown. Let's see, where's that on there? They moved it around on me. But look on the left-hand side, it'll kind of show you what's going on. You'll have to see if the account's full or not. In Outlook, there's some pretty neat tools for, you can say, like go to your inbox, you know, you say, I want to say view, all the, you know, everything older than a year. So you could just say everything older than a year. Let's put it in an archive folder on the computer as opposed to keeping it, in your email account.
Okay. Well, so, great. I'll give that a try.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Call in with your, questions, or if you have a comment about, EU's Article 13 or Article 11, 963-2976.
Going back to Article 13, so we talked about some of the cons, but I do want to touch on the pros a little bit because I think that this came from a good place, or at least there are some good ideas in the spirit of the regulation. Even if those ideas weren't necessarily implemented in the way that they were intended. But the idea of compensating people who create things for what they do is, I think that's a good idea. And one of the things that's happened in the age of the internet is that it's gotten much, much, much harder to be compensated for that. Because you have all of these distribution mechanisms, namely downloading, where there's no gatekeeper. There's no record store that is collecting your money in exchange for a physical copy.
Yeah, the copying of the data is a novel idea.
Yes.
It's just, you just go, you know, copy. You click a button, and you can copy terabytes of information from one place to another just with a simple click of a button.
Yeah, it makes me think of when you see the MPAA Like at the beginning of a movie, sometimes it'll be like, you wouldn't download a car. And it's like, well,
we're not that far away from that one. So
it's true. And honestly, if I could download a car, I totally would, because it's not hurting anyone. Stealing a car is one thing, because if I go to Matt's house and drive Matt's car out of Matt's driveway, then Matt no longer has a car.
If you can.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's another story.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, imagining this world where I could download Matt's car, Matt would still have his car. So this, it doesn't seem like anyone's really being hurt here, other than that, you know,
somebody's invested time and effort, mm-hmm. and in that correlates to monetary gain, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, that's the side. So you have to, the bridge between, oh, this is a physical product and this is a concept. This is, IP, as they call it, mm-hmm. with intellectual property.
Yeah.
It's kind of blurred when creating, you create the intellectual property, which is the schematic, which is the file that builds the car.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be copied almost instantly, and then you have, you know, the outcome of that. You know, obviously there's a huge investment in pieces and parts for a car, but that bridge between those two concepts is getting smaller and smaller every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so yeah, just with that idea of, like, because there are no gatekeepers anymore, in the same way, it suddenly, the question of how do you pay the people who create stuff, right, got a whole lot more difficult in the age of the internet.
There's been attempts to fix that through startups. Ones like Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, if you watch YouTube, you'll see that they want you to, you know, like and subscribe and so on, and then they'll say, "Hey, I have a Patreon page. Go over there if you like what I'm doing. You know, send me a few bucks, and I'll try to do this better, do this more."
Mm-hmm.
And so the internet community is trying to figure out how to deal with the, you know, the changing economy.
Totally. And what's interesting is that a lot of these solutions that people have come up with are voluntary. Like, Patreon is voluntary. It's not that I can't go watch this YouTuber's stuff if I haven't paid him on Patreon. But the... where was I going with that? I don't know.
It's another tool to be able to say, you know, I like the content you're creating. I like what you're doing. You know, I'm willing to pitch in some of my money to do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. The flip side is that there's no guarantee that as a creator are going to get enough money for it to be worth doing.
Right. And it's not a paywalled situation where, you know, you've created the content and you've put a wall between the content and the user, and the user kind of gets this little glimpse of the content,
mm-hmm.
and has to say, well, maybe that's worth my $10.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I know what you're doing. It's completely open. It's the opposite of the paywall. It's just, here's mm-hmm. my content. If you like what I'm doing here, send me a few bucks.
Yep. And you've seen this in the music industry too. Like Radiohead famously released In Rainbows, and they made it available as a free download and then had like a donation page where you could give what you wanted to, for the album. And that's, you've seen that repeated, replicated. I'm sure they weren't the first ones to do it, but
just trying other means of monetizing your content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a nicer way to say that, but I can't think of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. But yeah, and then the flip side of that is that even though those voluntary models do work for a lot of people, they don't work for everyone, and there is so much more content and stuff out there than there are people who are willing to support it. And it also tends to be that the people who, like, there's a network effect. So the people who get visibility are the people who get more money. The people who get more money are the people who get more visibility. And it leaves their...
Well, and then you have the control of that visibility as another layer of interesting problems.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're on YouTube, if you're, you know, playing by their rules, you're getting, you know, you might get pushed up a little bit. If you're playing, you know, against their rules, they might push you down a little bit, just because from their monetary perspective, they want to have content that they can make money off of through ad services.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make content that's, you know, from an ad producer or from somebody who wants to put an ad out's perspective, it's questionable. You know, they don't want necessarily want to have that content with their associated with their ad.
Yep. And then all of the algorithms that govern what you see when are completely opaque, which that's by necessity so that you can't game it. But it also means that it becomes like, as a creator, you feel like you're kind of at the mercy of the whims of both your viewers and of the platform that you're using.
And you almost have to be on your own. If you're doing something that's from an advertiser's perspective that's questionable, you might need to make your own platform, which is getting easier, but it still takes a lot of technical skill to do that.
Yeah. And it's been interesting to see how people have tried to come up with technical solutions for this. I talked to a developer who is working on, it was a company that called itself like the pitch was essentially Spotify, but blockchain. And it was funny talking to him because he was like, dude, it's so cool. You get completely free streaming. And I was like, okay, but there's still a coin, right? So you're buying the coin so that it goes to the person. And then like, there's still like movements of money. There's exchange of money. So the business model is still a business model, but
so was all the data stored in the blockchain? So the actual like,
oh, sorry. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just kind of, sorry, I want to geek out a little bit. That's the important part
of this story and I'm forgetting to tell it. The whole idea was that, so blockchain, it's this idea that it is a very public record that's very hard to fake. And so
because there's hundreds or thousands or millions of copies of that blockchain on everyone's computer and everyone has to agree
mm-hmm.
what's there through hashing techniques. And
yeah, exactly. And so this was the idea of this platform was that the rights contracts, like this person gets so much money, the record label gets so much money, like for each play, for each minute of time that you're listening to mm-hmm. something. And that is public and it's automatically executed. So if Matt made some music and then uploaded it to the thing and I listened to a song, then I could see that Matt was going to get so much of the coin for this. And
yes.
His producer was going to get some.
I'll get 1/10 trillionth of a coin for that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So as long as the coin's worth $1 billion, we're okay with that. But
yeah.
You've been listening to Geek Speak. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Tanner.
Steer it.
Sorry.
Yep. No worries.
One of these days. You've been listening to Geek Speak. Have a great week. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another edition.